Julie Fedorchek, longtime member of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. She ran for that job, won that job as a Republican. She's now a candidate for the United States Congress. I thought Julie would easily walk through that convention because she's running against someone nobody knew, and then all the other stuff happened. And so she joins us now and is willing to come on and talk about some of this. Julie, good to have you back on News and Views.
Good morning, Joel. Thank you for the invitation. Always happy to be here.
What happened at that convention? It's best described or explained by you.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we went in excited about the convention process. I've been long supportive of that. I've participated in a number of conventions and been endorsed. And so we were excited about going there and making our case to the Republican participants in the convention, the delegates. I felt like we gave a great presentation. We were there shaking hands, meeting people for two full days. Really loved the energy that we brought to the convention, our positive message of results, you know, telling people about my experience. And then after, you know, Alex gave his presentation and I gave mine, we did the voting. And then it turned out that Rick Becker had this scheme that he had concocted to tell his people who support him to spoil their ballots and then throw the election basically into chaos because there wouldn't be enough votes to get a majority because the spoiled ballots counted towards the total. So that's what he did. The first ballot, I won by about 200 votes, but there was 300 some spoiled ballots. And so those didn't count. I didn't have a majority. Then Mr. Becker went to the microphone and declared, you know, here I am. I know my delegates wanted to vote for me, but now you've made your point. Now you should, you know, stop doing that and participate in good faith in this election. And so then the second time around after that happened, it was quite a scene. A lot of people left. I think a lot of my supporters were disgusted with how that all happened, and a lot of people left. There was about 200 folks who left after that. So the second ballot came out. I lost by five. And then at that point, it's late. We're already a couple hours past when the convention was supposed to be over. Delegates had been through a lot. I saw the writing on the wall. I felt like we'd accomplished at that point what we came there for, which was to deliver our message, make my case, have a grassroots network developed, which we did, get out our signs, get out our materials. So I just went to the microphone and said, listen, thank you, everybody. Appreciate your support. We've been happy to be here. Alex, you know, great job. Mr. Becker, very disappointing that you would step up and do something like this and orchestrate an effort like this when you are seeking one of the highest offices in our state. In my opinion, that's not the actions of a leader. We don't need to send somebody to Congress who's interested in orchestrating chaos like that. We need to send somebody who's about doing the business. And so I just said, I'm going to the primary. I look forward to meeting electors there and just withdrew from the convention process at that point.
There were some people that were disappointed that you did that, that were ready to fight for you and fight on. What was your answer to those individuals?
Again, I felt like, you know, out of respect for the folks who were there and had gone through each of those votes takes about probably about an hour to complete. It's a Saturday night. People had spent a lot of time in their over the weekend. And I just really felt like, again, our mission had been accomplished. We got what we, you know, a lot of positive things out of the campaign. And I just felt like there was too much gamesmanship going on. It was time to just, you know, say like, thank you. We're moving on.
Okay.
And now, you know, that's behind us. And we're excited about the remainder of the most important part of the election moving forward. And we're really energized and excited about that and really ready to, you know, shut the book on the convention and move on, which we have.
So let's do that. Let's move on from the convention. The only thing I would add into the convention is what leaves the convention and takes with you to D.C. if you win this seat. Number one, you know, there's resolutions that were passed that say that people shouldn't have to get vaccinated, that there shouldn't be same-sex marriage allowed, that you know, there's a lot of these things. And I guess, I mean, I could go through them one-on-one, but are you comfortable with some of these resolutions that were passed at your convention?
To be honest, Joel, I didn't follow up with the resolution process because I'm not the endorsed candidate, so I don't feel bound by those resolutions. So I haven't gone through each one to see which passed, which didn't, and all
okay.
that.
I'm here's the
pretty
one.
Comfortable with the platform of the party. The platform of the party is solid. I'm comfortable with the pro-life positions. I'm a strong pro-life candidate, have been my entire career. If that's one of the ones you wanted to talk about.
No, what I wanted to ask you more than anything about that, Julie, was whether or not you're against in vitro fertilization.
I am not against in vitro fertilization. No, in fact, I have several godchildren who are the product of that. I know, you know, a lot of parents have struggles getting pregnant and having children, and that's a miracle that allows a lot of families to have children and reach their dreams. So I am support that and don't go to that point. I think our state's position on abortion is solid. I think the Supreme Court has it right that let's let the states decide this. And that's where it belongs. Our state has taken a strong position on abortion. I am comfortable with that. To beyond that, if there was a federal floor that came to me as a congressperson to vote on of like 16 weeks or so, I would support that as well, to make some consistency nationwide. But more than anything else in this country, and I think I could reach across the aisle to somebody like you with this, is we need to get about building a culture of life in our country. I've tried to do that. My husband and I have been active in North Dakota pro-life efforts, supporting various pro-life organizations here to help support women who are in troubled pregnancies. My husband and I have a daughter. We have two sons. You know, there's nothing harder than probably facing that, an unexpected, unplanned pregnancy. We need to be there for women to help them choose life, to support them, and to help make that the positive outcome. And I think that Republicans and Democrats are about trying to minimize the amount of abortion. So let's focus on that and try to spend less time on extreme angles on this measure.
Commissioner Fedorchak, when we come back, I want you to, well, no, I'm going to surprise you with it. Let's just say it's going to deal with chaos in D.C. How's that? I'll give you a little heads up. You bet. The text club is just lit up here. Julie Fedorchak is our guest. She wants to be North Dakota's lone member of Congress. She's running in the primary for that Republican spot on the ballot. Ms. Fedorchak, people want to know this. They want to know that if you are very pro-life, what the difference is between this being a state right or a national right. If you are a member of Congress, one individual says, I am very pro-life. I want her, if she's a member of Congress, to do all she can to make it a federal ban on abortion. Your thoughts on that?
Sure, absolutely, and happy to follow up on that. So in terms of the federal level, what's really important is that we don't risk what we've already gotten and gained in terms of pro-life wins, and that is that states can have their own say in how far they want to go on the pro-life issue. If you have a federal floor, I think a floor is the, and I've talked to pro-life groups about this nationally, that provides like, okay, everyone needs to be at this level. If a state chooses to go more strict, then a state can do that. We have to be able to protect the rights of the states to have their own say if they want to go stricter. A floor would provide sort of the common standard nationwide that states have to at least meet. And so I think that that's the way to do it. And I do think that right now, in talking with Susan B. Anthony, they're feeling like a 16-week is pretty strong. As a national standard, it puts us in line with a lot of the countries throughout the world Right now, we're an outlier in having kind of the most liberal choice laws in the world, and so just bringing us down into a much more strict standard, so that there is a floor nationally states can go stricter if they.
So the answer is, you believe there needs to be a federal ban on abortion.
I would support. I think that personally, here's my position. I would support. I support the states having the power to decide.
They have that
if
now.
If there's a federal ban brought forward, I will support that. I would support a 16-week ban.
So you want this done at a federal level? Is the point? I have to ask you this: Do you think Donald Trump is a good person?
Donald Trump was a great leader in terms of a lot of his policies for North Dakota. And that's what I was really hoping we could spend some time talking about.
It's hard to talk about leadership if the person you're dealing with isn't a good person. And so what I want to ask you, and it's because every Republican is running this I Love Donald Trump campaign. So this is a very, very fair question to ask. Do you think Donald Trump is a good person?
This race is about two people, Joel, Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And Donald Trump and Joe Biden has been a disaster for this country.
But this
disaster.
Isn't what
Our
I'm asking. We can get into that. We can talk policy. Do you think Donald Trump is a good person? And you've avoided the question twice.
I think he's a strong leader.
I'm going to take the fact you won't say yes as though the answer is no. Is that fair?
I think there's many things about him that he's great on. I think he's a good dad. I'm impressed with how he treats his family. His family loves him. I think he's been demonized ruthlessly by the media. And so, yes, there's this question about whether he's a good person or not, and all those things are being sorted out. But, I mean, we've got to just move beyond all this personality and drama.
Well,
and
you should call
about
him
this
about
stuff
that.
And get on to the business of the day.
Julie, when you're going into the court dealing with paying off a porn star, when you've been convicted and the judge pointed out there was rape of a woman in a dressing room, that isn't something that I think any member of Congress should support. That's why I asked the question. You want to talk about issues? Let's talk about issues. Do you believe that Summit Carbon Solution is something that we should do in this state?
I do. I do believe that Summit Carbon Solutions is a positive for North Dakota, and for two reasons. One, this project, carbon capture and storage on ethanol, creates an entire new industry in terms of the development of low-carbon diesel fuel. The sky is the limit in terms of how much of that there's going to be needed in this country. And in the world, and this is an emerging market that is just developing. It's going to be developed someplace. North Dakota has a great geology for this, and we can be a leader in this. It would have a huge impact to our ag community, our producers. There's almost unlimited potential for growing more corn to develop this new low carbon diesel fuel industry in our state. So I think that this helps move us in that direction. It also helps us provide a future source for using CO2 for enhanced oil recovery, using it for beneficial use. And we know that in order to get the most out of the Bakken region and to develop the most oil from our Bakken resource, we're going to need CO2 to help with enhanced oil recovery. That's going to be the next phase. Mm-hmm. And we're going to need a lot of it. Will help do that. Now,
30 seconds left, Julie. I mean, I've let you explain why you support that. People want to know, I've got 30 seconds left. Do you own any of the land where the carbon will be injected in North Dakota?
Yeah, we have a lease on that, but Rick Becker has flat out lied. Flat out lied, which is another reason why he should not be in Congress, about what my husband and I have at stake in that and how we got about Okay. Went about getting that.
And I want to make sure you get an opportunity to point out that's a lie. You gave us a half hour today. We took it. Julie, tell people how to find out more about you. What's your website?
Julie4nd.com.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it, Commissioner.
Thank you, Joel.
You bet.